This is Sunday evening, May 5th, 1974, in Richmond, Virginia. Ministry is given through Brother Stephen Kong.
We do thank the Lord that we may be together remembering Him and fellowshipping one with another. To me, I feel this is like heaven on earth. Will you please turn to the book of Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter 1. I like to read the whole chapter. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of Jehovah came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. And the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the valley, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I hallowed thee. I appointed thee a prophet unto the nations. And I say, Alas, Lord Jehovah, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But Jehovah said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to whomsoever I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of them, for I am with thee to deliver thee, said Jehovah. And Jehovah put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and Jehovah said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, and to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. And Jehovah said unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I am watchful over my word to perform it. And the word of Jehovah came to me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I say, I see a seething pot, and its face is from the north. And Jehovah said unto me, Out of the north shall evil break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the nations of the kingdoms of the north, said Jehovah, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will pronounce my judgments against them for all their wickedness, in that they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped in the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I shall command thee. Be not dismayed at them, lest I cause thee to be dismayed before them. And I said, Behold, I appoint thee this day as a strong city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls, against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against his princes, against his priests, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, said Jehovah, to deliver thee. Last time when we were together, we fellowshiped a little bit on Isaiah. Isaiah was raised up by God as a prophet roughly about 800 years before Christ. And he prophesied during the reigns of four kings: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. He prophesied during a very interesting period of the life of the nation of Judah. And we find how God gave Isaiah a marvelous vision of the Messiah, of Christ. He is the Paul of the Old Testament. Now this time, God willing, we'll like to share together on Jeremiah. Jeremiah prophesied approximately 600 years before Christ. So about 200 years have passed. And Jeremiah prophesied during the reigns of three kings of Judah, the last kings of the nation of Judah. He prophesied in the days of Josiah, in the days of Jehoiakim, and in the days of Zedekiah. And he prophesied even after the nation was destroyed, taken into Babylonian captivity. And we know that he was with that remnant that went down to Egypt. King Josiah, as you read in Kings and Chronicles, was an exceptionally good king. The nation of Judah at that time was going downward. But somehow God, in his mercy, raised up a most extraordinarily good king. King Josiah. It reminds me that oftentimes in judgment, God has mercy. God raised up this man, hoping that his people will return to him. When Josiah came to the throne, he was only 8 years old. But when he was 16, he began to seek the Lord. He sought the God of David, his father. He turned not to the right nor to the left. He did everything that was right in the sight of God. A boy of 16. And in his 12th year of reign, he was 20 by that time, he started to purify the land of high places, of idol worship. And in the 20th year, the 18th year of his reign, he began to repair the temple in Jerusalem. And you remember, he found the book of the law. And it was during his reign that the nation of Israel kept the Passover in a way that it was never kept before, since the day of Joshua. So you find that Josiah was really sovereignly raised up by God for the nation of Judah. And Jeremiah started to prophesy in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah. In other words, it was just 1 year after King Josiah started to purify the land, to prepare the return of God's people to God. God raised Jeremiah up to help King Josiah in this reform or in this attempt of returning to God. Of course, Jeremiah was also a young man. He was of the priestly family. His father was Hilkiah, but not the high priest, because his family lived in Anatol. But he was of the priestly family. But before he entered into the temple to serve as a priest. You know, a priest was started to be an apprentice in the temple when he was 25. And then when he was 30, he became a full-fledged priest in the temple. But before Jeremiah entered into the priestly service, God called him to be a prophet. When he was called, he was a young man, probably between 20 to 25. So in a sense, you find age-wise, he was about the same age as King Josiah. God raised up two young men, one as the king and the other as a prophet. With the king, with his authority, he was able to make reform. He was able to lead his people away from idolatry and to return to the service of God. But it took a prophet to really pierce the hearts of men and to bring man's heart. A king with his authority could do the outward things of reform. But only a priest, only a prophet, with revelation from God, with word from God, with burden from God, with insight from God, he could speak for God, penetrate human hearts, expose them, and hopefully lead them back to God in a real way. King Josiah was a good king, and his reform was very real. But in spite of all his efforts, the people only followed outwardly. Their hearts were far from God. And therefore God raised up Jeremiah to probe into the heart. Because when God works, he always does a thorough work. He will never leave any stone unturned. And Jeremiah was raised up in this manner. Jeremiah prophesied from the 13th year of King Josiah until the nation of Judah was taken into captivity. And he prophesied further on. Altogether, he prophesied, in other words, God used him as a prophet for about 50 years. Now, what kind of a man was this man, Jeremiah? Yeah, we know that the name Jeremiah means the Lord is exalted. And we are told that the name Jehovah is used 700 times in the book of Jeremiah. Here you find a young man. He started young and he continued on. You know, sometimes a young man may start well, but does not continue. But he was like Daniel, you know. Daniel was another man. He was called by God when he was a young man, and he continued on to his matured age. And I think that's most beautiful. And this was Jeremiah too. Throughout his life, he had only one passion, to exalt the Lord. And in order to exalt the Lord, he had to pay a very great price. Now, brothers and sisters, do not think that if you desire to exalt the Lord, if you desire to glorify the Lord by your life, by your words, that because of that, you will have a most happy, blessed, smooth time. Not so. If anyone desires to exalt himself, he may have a very smooth time. Because this is the world. And if you agree with the world agrees with you. But to exalt the Lord, especially during a time of great turmoil, of great change. You know, under the reign of Josiah, there was great reform, but it was only outward. And when it came to Jehoiakim and Zedekiah, these were wicked kings. And to exalt the Lord, in season and out of season, to exalt the Lord under any kind of circumstances, to be faithful to the Lord, to be true to the Lord, to honor the Lord, to know nothing but the Lord himself. Jeremiah had to pay a very high price. It is costly. So, dear brothers and sisters, if you desire to exalt the Lord, be prepared to pay some cost. If you are not prepared to pay any cost, if you want to exalt the Lord and be popular, they go the opposite direction. You will be torn. But here you'll find Jeremiah, he had only one passion throughout his life, to exalt the Lord. And how he did exalt the Lord. From the very beginning of his life, to the very end. Now, what kind of a man was Jeremiah? If you read the book of Jeremiah, you will gather that Jeremiah was a kind of person who had a very yielding, tender, soft, sensitive temperament. Naturally, he was not a strong, hard person. Naturally, he was very tender, almost like a woman. He was very timid. Very sympathetic. Full of love. Naturally, he would like to be a friend of everybody. That was the nature, the temperament of that person. When God called him to be a prophet, he drew back in trembling and said, "Who am I? I'm but a child." He was timid. How he loved the children of Israel. How he will be most happy if he could bring some good news to them. And yet because of their stubborn rebellion against God, he had to proclaim judgment after judgment. And the judgment was final. And brothers and sisters, when he was doing that, he wept. He couldn't take it. He couldn't bear it. Again and again he told the Lord, "Lord, leave me alone. I don't want to speak for you. It is just too much." And yet he said the fire was just burning within his bones. And he couldn't restrain himself. He had to speak for the Lord. His love for his people was so great. He wanted to see the welfare of his people, to see how the people of God will return and be blessed. And yet, they considered him as a traitor. he was misunderstood completely. You do not know how much this man suffered. Of all the prophets you find in the Old Testament, probably none surpassed Jeremiah in this sense, that he was so identified with the messages he delivered that you can almost see the messenger and the message are one. You know, this is the height of prophecy. To prophesy does not mean that you just utter some words of God, and yet you are as an observer, as a spectator. It is true. The spirit of prophecy can come upon an ass, and an ass can prophesy, but that ass has nothing to do with what he prophesies. But the height of prophesying is when the prophet and the words that he prophesied become one. And then you have the height of prophecy. And in no other prophets in the Old Testament, you will find it is more true than in the life of Jeremiah. What he prophesied was what he was. He was so identified with what he prophesied. And that was Jeremiah. He did a very unpopular job. He was unpopular to the very end. I wonder if a true prophet is really honored while he is alive. We do not know how he died, but we know because of his love for God's people. Even after the nation of Judah was destroyed by Babylon, and he among all the people, he was allowed to go free. And yet he wouldn't. He identified himself with a remnant. He warned the remnant not to go down to Egypt, but they went. And in spite of himself, he went down with them. And we were told by tradition that he was stoned to death in Egypt. Never popular, but always faithful. Even though naturally he was timid, soft, tender, and yet God raised him up as a strong city, a pillar of iron, and brazen walls. Everybody is to be against him, and he is against everybody. I really think that he really can be called Antipas. You know who Antipas was? You remember where that name occurs? Revelation. In the book of Revelation, you remember there is one called Antipas. But in history, we do not find such a person by that name. So most likely, we have to interpret it according to the word. And the word is two words. Antipas. Anti, everybody. Because everything has gone wrong. Therefore, in order to stand with God, you have to be against everyone and everything. And you find that Jeremiah was not such a person. And how much he suffered for that. He was not by nature that kind of person. You know, some person by nature is anti-everything. But this is against Jeremiah's nature. It is for the Lord's sake. And in his weakness, we find the power of God being perfected. No one can prevail against him, not even himself. The Lord has prevailed in that life. Brothers and sisters, so when we read the book of Jeremiah. We need to understand that person. If you understand that person, then what he prophesied becomes living, you know. They are not just words spoken by someone, but you find that all these words are really squeezed or pressed out from his heart. He was going through a press. The burden of the Lord was with him. And thank God he was faithful to the end. And I hope this will serve as a little bit of introduction to help us in our study, in your study of the book of Jeremiah, because we cannot study the whole book in three sessions. So, for our time together, we would just like to pick out a few things and learn together the lessons that God wants us to learn. This evening we would like to fellowship on the call and commission of Jeremiah. And that you find in the first chapter. Verse 4. And the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the valley, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I hallowed thee. I appointed thee a prophet unto the nations. One day, the word of God came to this young man. He was preparing himself. He was being prepared for the priesthood. And unexpectedly, God called him to be a prophet. He was surprised by the Lord. He was thinking that he would just continue to do what his father was doing. But God has something different for him. And isn't that true that sometimes God does surprise us? We may think that we are prepared for something and everything seems to be pointing to that direction, and suddenly you find the Lord say, there. So the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said, I formed thee in the bed. Before I formed thee in the valley, I knew thee. God called him to be a prophet. And God's calling is based on three things. Number one, God's calling is based on God's foreknowledge. Before I formed thee in the valley, I knew thee. God is the omniscient God. He knows everything. He knows everything about you before you are formed by him. With him, with his knowledge, everything is present. There is nothing unknown, nothing in the future. God said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the valley of your mother, I knew you already. That is the foreknowledge of God. Now this is tremendous because we do not have such knowledge. And we do not know how such knowledge operates. It is beyond our understanding. But God being God, he foreknows everything. He foreknows everyone. And you know, God's calling is based on his foreknowledge. That is the first thing. The second thing. And before thou camest out of the womb, I hallowed thee. Before Jeremiah was born, God had already set him apart. In other words, divine election. Jeremiah was divinely elected.
He was divinely set apart. Even before he was born. And of course, divine election is according to foreknowledge of God. Not because you have done anything. It just pleases him to choose you. And you know, in Romans, we are told that before Jacob and his brother Esau were born, when they were still in their mother's womb, God said, I love Jacob, I hate Esau. To prove that divine election is not according to works, because they haven't done anything good or bad. It was according to his foreknowledge. Whom he foreknows, he predestined that we may be conformed to the image of Christ. So here you find number one, foreknowledge. Number two, divine election. And then number three, I appointed thee a prophet unto the nation. Appointment, divine. When you come to this matter of calling, you find God is sovereign, and he is the one who initiates everything. He calls according to his foreknowledge, by divine election, and with divine appointment. Now, brothers and sisters, we may not all be divinely appointed to be prophets. And yet you find the same principle work with every one of us. God foreknows every one of us. Even before he forms us, he knows us. And if you read Psalm 139, you will find that even before our bones are being connected, all our days are already numbered in his book, recorded in his book. He knows everything. God knows us. Before we are born, before we are formed. And this is true with every one of us. God foreknows. And thank God, according to his foreknowledge, he has elected us. Not because you are in anything better than anybody else. It is just because he knows and he elects. Thank God for that. You know, when I was young, I was puzzled by this divine election. I felt it was a hard doctrine, hard to swallow. But the older I go, the more I like that. I love it. If it's not because of his foreknowledge and his divine election, I won't be here. Thank God. Dear brothers and sisters, God knows. God has chosen in Christ Jesus. He has set you apart with a purpose. There is a divine appointment with every one of us. You do not choose which member of the body of Christ you want to be. It is by divine election. It is by divine appointment. Thank God he has called us. He has called us into the body of Christ. You just do not happen to be in that body. You just do not try to join that body. It is by His foreknowledge, through His divine election, that we are now in the body of Christ. And dear brothers and sisters, do you know that? Being divinely elected to be in the body of Christ, God has appointed to each one of us a place. We are members one of another in that body. No one chooses to be which member of that body he or she wants to be. It is according to divine appointment. It is easy to say this, but probably it takes some time for you to accept this. I think we have a tendency always like to be somebody else. I think we have a tendency always think that somebody else's job is more excellent than ours, more noble than ours. We always like to be on the other side. But brothers and sisters, remember one thing. We are called to be members of the body of Christ, and it is all by divine appointment. He has appointed you maybe to be an eye, or maybe to be an ear, or maybe to be a nose, or maybe to be a mouth, or maybe to be a hand, or maybe to be a foot, or maybe to be a heart. It's all by divine appointment. God has set us apart with a definite reason. There is a service, a ministry that we can minister unto God and to His people. And it's all by divine. You remember Paul again said, Paul an apostle, not by man's will, but by the will of God. It is divine appointment. What your calling may be, brothers and sisters, does not depend upon yourself, upon your choosing. What your calling in the body of Christ may be is by divine appointment. And what we need to know is, what is that divine appointment? And remember, it is only to the humble that the divine appointment will be made known. Oftentimes, we do not know our place in the body of Christ. It is because we are proud. We do not want to be where God has put us. We think we deserve something higher. Just like the ear will say to the eye, I'm not the eye, therefore I do not belong to the body. Or the foot will say to the hand that I'm not the hand, I'm too low, so I'm not of the body. No, all by divine appointment. And dear brothers and sisters, if we can accept divine appointment and to function accordingly, the body will be built up under the head. So here you find God called Jeremiah. God said, I appointed thee a prophet unto the nations. Primarily, his prophesying was towards the nation of Judah and Jerusalem. Because this was God's people. And yet you find he prophesied also of the nations that surrounded the nation of Judah. He was appointed a prophet unto all the nations. And in similar manner, brothers and sisters, we are all appointed to be an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, an evangelist, a helper, or whatever it may be. And you'll find primarily it is for God's people, but its influence will reach to all the nations.
was the calling. God called Jeremiah to a definite ministry. And when Jeremiah heard this calling, what was his reaction? Here you'll find he said, "And I say, alas, Lord Jehovah, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Now, actually, Jeremiah at that time was not a little child. Actually, at that time, he was probably in his early 20s, from 20 to 25, possibly. And you know, as a young man of 20 to 25, oh, he knows everything. He thinks he knows everything. As a young man of that age, certainly, if a call shall come to him, he will accept it right away. He said, "Fine, I'm waiting for that. I'm prepared for that. I'm more than equal for that job." Isn't that like young people? But listen to this, young man. When God's call came to him, he said, "Alas, Lord Jehovah, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Now, he was not acting like Moses when Moses was 80 years old. You remember Moses when he was 40? He was ready. So he went out. And then when he was 80, he was unready. And when God called him, he said, "Who am I?" Cannot speak? Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? "Oh, no, no. I'm not that kind of person. Have somebody else." And God was angry with him. And you remember another man, Zechariah? When he was burning incense in the temple, the angel appeared to him and said, "Now you will have a son, and he will be the forerunner of the Messiah," and so on and so forth. And Zechariah, who had been praying all his life for that, and said, "How do I know?" And the angel said, "Because you do not believe, you are not able to speak." But here you find with Jeremiah, he was not reacting like Moses. He was not reacting like Zechariah. Not so. When he said, "Alas, Lord Jehovah, I cannot speak, I'm a child." He was not trying to reject it. He was not trying to evade it. He wasn't disbelieving God at all. On the contrary, his reaction was like Mary, the mother of Jesus. You remember when the angel came to Mary and said, "You shall have a child, the Holy One." And Mary said, "How can it be? I'm a virgin. I'm not married." And when the angel told him, "It is God's Spirit, the power of God shall overshadow you. Therefore, the one that is born is the Holy One." And you remember Mary said, "I'm a handmaid of the Lord. Be it as you wish." And the attitude of Jeremiah was in that category. Even though he was a young man, yet he was not careless, nor rashful. There was a depth in that young man. He knew it was a great privilege to be called a prophet of God, to be God's mouthpiece. What a privilege that is. And yet he knew the great responsibility involved. He knew that in himself he was not competent. He said, "Lord, I cannot speak. I'm but a child. I'm not matured enough."
Even though I know you, yet I do not know you enough. I'm not ready yet. Not that I'm not willing, but I'm not ready yet. I'm fearful lest I will fail. I will fail you. You know, this is the attitude of Jeremiah. Oh, brothers and sisters, oftentimes, when God's calling comes upon a person, if that person really knows the Lord, the reaction will be like Jeremiah. Oftentimes, before God calls, we already answer. But when a real calling comes, when you begin to realize what is involved to speak for God, you know you're but a child. You cannot speak. It is the humility that you find. And brothers and sisters, God rejects the proud and exalts the humble. Oh, how important it is that there is a spirit of humility in us. When God's call comes to us, may there be such a spirit of humility. The spirit of humility is the spirit of Christ. And it's only in that spirit you are able to respond to God's call. You are able to fulfill God's calling. So Nehemiah said, I cannot speak. I'm but a child. And God knows it. And God said, do not say you are just a child. For thou shalt go to whomsoever I will send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of them, for I am with thee to deliver thee, said Jehovah. Do not say you are a child. Why? Because you are just a vessel. I am the one who will send you where you need to go. I am the one who will put my word into your mouth that you will speak. Do not be afraid of people. I'm with you. I'm with you. In other words, to fulfill a calling never depends upon ourselves. If you think that you can fulfill God's calling, you will fail. But when you realize that it is not you, but it is the power of God in you, then you will be able to fulfill your calling. Now, what was Jeremiah's commission? Verse 9. And Jehovah put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And Jehovah said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, and to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. His commission was twofold, the negative and the positive. Four negatives and two positives. The negatives are to pluck up, to break down, and to destroy, and to overthrow. To tear it to pieces. What a destruction it is. God is never interested in patching jobs. Whenever God does a thing, he does it thoroughly. Jeremiah was not commissioned to patch up something. Jeremiah was commissioned to do a thorough job. To pluck up. To break down. To destroy. To tear in pieces. Everything that is not of God must be completely set aside. God has no desire to patch up things. And you remember what our Lord Jesus said in his parables of new and old? You do not patch up an old dress with a new piece of cloth. You do not put the new wine into an old wineskin. You find with God, when he does a thing, it's always thorough. Why does it need to be broken down? Why should there be destruction? It shows that something has already gone wrong. Something has already gone out of God's will. And for that reason, you find the destroying, the breaking down is necessary. Of course, God's purpose is never negative. God's purpose is always positive. But before God can do his positive work, because man has have already done so much, you have to break down and destroy first. How, brothers and sisters, we think we want to help God. We have helped him so much that he has to do lots of destruction work. The more you help him, the more he has to put up. He has to tear it to pieces. Oh, if we do not do all these things and let him have a clear ground, then he will be able to plant and to build up. But because we are so helpful, he has to do a lot of things. And here you'll find God said, these negative things must be done. But these are not the purpose, the end. The real aim is to plant and to build. And you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says the same thing. Paul says, we are fellow laborers. And you are God's husbandry and you are God's building. So here you find husbandry is to plant. And building, of course, is to build up. When you plant a thing, it speaks of inner life. Oh, what God desires to do is to see life planted and life increases. Until it will bear fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. But unless you plant the seed first, you will not have the fruit. And that's what God always wants to do. To plant. That life may multiply and to build. Not only to plant a matter of life, but also to build. After we have received his life, and as the life of Christ begins to increase in us, then these lives have to be built up together. And in building, you know, lots of discipline is involved. So Jeremiah's mission was twofold. On the one hand, to break down. On the other hand, to build up. Oftentimes, when you read the book of Jeremiah, you think that he is only doing the negative works. He never does the positive thing. But if you read more carefully, you'll find that he does. Although you find the negative things are four in number, and a positive only two. And that's the reason why sometimes we misunderstand. But actually, you find the commission is for Jeremiah to build up. To build up. And brothers and sisters, this is also our commission. God's intention is that we may plant and we may build. But in order to accomplish this, we have to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, and to tear in pieces. Brothers and sisters, oftentimes you'll find we build what we should tear down. And we tear down what we should build. We do not see the difference. We do not have that spiritual discernment. Why? Because we are doing everything. Instead of waiting upon the Lord and let Him show us, let His Spirit lead us, then we will be able to tear what it should be torn and to build. And to reinforce that commission, God showed Jeremiah two visions, two signs. The first sign, verse 11. And the word of Jehovah came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I say, I see a rod of an almond tree. And Jehovah said unto me, thou hast well seen, for I am watchful over my word to perform it. Somehow you'll find the order is reversed. When God gave commission to Jeremiah, God gave the negative side first and then the positive. To pluck up and then to plant. To destroy and then to build. But here, in reinforcing the commission, when God gave him two visions, the visions seem to reverse the order. God first gave him a vision of a rod of almond tree. And then the second vision is a seething pot coming from the north. Now, when you see such a vision, what will be your understanding? Now, you must remember that Jeremiah, he was trained as a priest. And you know, in the history of priesthood, a very special incident happened. Most extraordinary incident happened in the history of priesthood. And every priest who studied to be a priest must have learned this history. And it was basic to priesthood. And you know what it is? One day some people came and said, why is it that only Aaron can serve in the tabernacle? God's people are holy. Can we not all serve? Why should Aaron usurp the service of God? We will all serve God because we are God's people. We are holy. In other words, you'll find there was a controversy over who shall serve. And you know how God settled that question? God said, all right, every tribe prepare a rod. You cut from the tree, have a rod. So every tribe had a rod with the name of the tribe on it, and on Levi's rod, the name of Aaron. And these 12 rods were left before the ark of God through the night. And you remember the next morning, when they took the 12 rods out, all the 11 rods remained dead rods. They were still dead. But Aaron's rod budded and bare almonds. A rod of almond tree. Now Nehemiah was trained to be a priest. He couldn't forget that incident because that was basic to priesthood. So when Jeremiah saw that vision, no doubt his mind would immediately go back to Aaron's rod and budded. No doubt about it. Almond tree in the scripture always speaks of revelation, resurrection. Because almond tree is the first tree after winter that begins to bud and start to bear fruit. So in the scripture, almond tree always speaks of resurrection. It is in the power of this resurrection that the priesthood is to be exercised. Brothers and sisters, who can serve God? Only those who serve God in the power of the resurrection of the life of Christ. We are dead rocks. There is no life in us. We cannot serve God's purpose. But with the power of His resurrection, we are able to minister unto God and unto His people. So priesthood is based upon the power of resurrection. It is not by anybody saying, I'm holy, therefore I can serve. Who has the power of His resurrection is fit to function as a priest unto God. The same principle is true with a prophet. A priest must serve in the power of resurrection. So is a prophet. A prophet is not to serve in his own strength, but a prophet is to serve in the power of his resurrection. You remember Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians. He said, we are giving the ministry of the new covenant. Not of letter, but of spirit. Not written upon stones, but written upon human hearts. Who is competent to be ministers of the new covenant? Paul said, we are not competent at all. Our competency is of God. Brothers and sisters, how can we minister? How can we function? How can we fulfill our calling in the body of Christ? No matter what special calling it may be, no matter what particular work God is calling you to do, but we are all being called to serve in the house of God, in the body of Christ. Now, how are we going to fulfill our calling? It is with the rod of almond tree. It is in the power of His resurrection. As we know the power of His resurrection, then we are able to minister life unto those who will receive life. And even death to those who deserve to die. You remember Paul said, we are the sweet savor of Christ, the fragrance of Christ, the odor of Christ. And to those that are dead, death. To those that are alive, life. Who is competent? It is of God. And that is exactly what you find here. Jeremiah was to minister to God's people. He was to minister God's people as a rod of almond tree. Or with a rod of almond tree. He was to minister with the power of the resurrection. Of resurrection. And as he ministered in this power, it will be life to those who accept his ministry. But death to those. It's very serious. But it is very real. Very real. So here you'll find God raised up Jeremiah to plant and to build with that spiritual authority that comes out of resurrection life. And this is the only way that we can minister. We can be of use to God. Sometimes it may mean death. And yet, it is resurrection power. It is resurrection power. And that is what God has raised Jeremiah up for. And then you'll find the second vision. The second vision is a seething pot coming from the north. And we know in history this was fulfilled with the coming of the Babylonians. Because the children of Israel refused the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah ministered to them in the power of resurrection. It should be life to these people. But because they rejected him, therefore, God's judgment finally came upon the people. 23 years later, you'll find the judgment began to fulfill. Until they were taken into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. In other words, because they did not receive the ministry, the prophetic ministry of Jeremiah. Therefore, judgment came upon them. And this is always true. Always true. Whenever people minister in the power of his resurrection, then it is life to those who receive, and it is always death to those who reject. And because of the seriousness of this commission, God encouraged Jeremiah and warned him too. God said, "Be not dismayed, lest you be dismayed before them." In other words, just go on with the Lord. Do not be afraid. If you are afraid, you will be made afraid. But if you are faithful, God said, "I will make you a strong city, a pillar of iron and brass walls. You will be against all nations, all people, the kings, the priests, they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with thee," said Jehovah, "to deliver." And how true it is in the life of Jeremiah. You find that he was literally against the kings and the priests and even the false prophets and the people. He was against everybody. And how they tried to persecute him. They threw him into prison. They put him into dungeon. And yet the Lord preserved him. No one can prevail against him because the Lord was with him to deliver him to the very end. So brothers and sisters, this should be an encouragement. Again, we will say, God has called us into this body of Christ. We are all set apart and divinely appointed in each of our works. And it is our commission to plant and to build. But sometimes we have to pluck up and destroy. It is in the power of his resurrection that we minister. And the effect is very serious, but we don't need to be afraid. The Lord is able to deliver us. So I think tonight we will just fellowship on this calling and commission of the prophet Jeremiah. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, how we praise and thank thee
that it does not depend on us, but it is up to thee to call. And it is by thy power that any is able to fulfill what thou hast called. Oh, how we praise and thank thee. There need not be struggle. We can rest in faith, knowing that thou does it, and thou wilt do it well. Oh, we just commit ourselves to thee, yield ourselves to thee. Lord, we would be like Jeremiah. Even though we are timid, and yet, Lord, we are in thy hands. May thy will be done on each one of us. Have thine own way, and glorify thyself. We ask in the name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.